to their source and root, namely godliness itself. So if the Chachma Bina Das, as it is in the world of Atzilus, totally united with Him, would descend and evolve into the world of Bria, there can never be a concept, an existence like that of the world of Bria, a created world with created beings existing in the world of Bria. They would totally be dissolved, their existence would be dissolved, they would cease altogether to exist, they would revert to their source and root, which is godliness. There must be the tzimtzum, the contraction, which then allows them to remain in their identity, a very sublime identity, but their identity, and experience divinity within the parameters of their identity. V'hine, Zogd Alter Rebbe, now, tzimtzum zeh, this contraction, which Chabad of Atzilus undergoes in order to radiate in Bria, he see basah ar. This is the cause of illumination, that the Chabad of the Ein Sof illuminate and affect the souls in the world of Bria. Because of this tzimtzum, the souls in the world of Bria can be illuminated by a glow of the Chabad of Ein Sof, Chabad of Atzilus. This allows them to have some perception of the Ein Sof light. Masha Ein Kin Batzilus. However, in the world of Atzilus, She'ein Number B'chinas Simtzum Kolkach, where the Chabad are not contracted to such a great degree as in Bria, E'afshe L'sichlim Nivroyim L'kabel Men. Created intellectual beings cannot apprehend them as they are. They cannot. In their undimmed intensity as they are in the world of Atzilus, they cannot be perceived or comprehended by Sichlim Nivrayim. It would totally overwhelm them, and as Alter Rebbe said, it would turn them into naught and nothingness. Therefore, their thought cannot grasp there at all. The thought and intellect of the created beings of Bria can in no way grasp the light radiating in Atzilus. So here the Alter Rebbe is now finishing the beginning of the paragraph. How did he begin the paragraph? V'ayla ma'atzilus, he started a few lines earlier, a few sentences earlier. V'ayla ma'atzilus, sholamayla me'aseichel v'asagav avana l'seichel nivra. The world of Atzilus, which transcends totally the comprehension of a created being, of a created being's intellect. So now the Alter Rebbe finishes, since that's the nature of the world of Atzilus. L'chein, therefore, hu mader l'tzadikim agdoilim. Therefore, Atzilus is the abode for the great tzadikim. Shavei dasam hi lemaila maila filu mipchines dechilu rechimu anem shachis ma bina vadas begdolasa yisbarach, whose service of Hashem is far superior even to the awe and the love derived from understanding and knowing His greatness. Kemoi sha'ayla ma'atzilus ulemaila maila mipchines bina vadas l'seichel nivra, just as the world of Atzilus transcends by far the level of the understanding and knowledge of a created being's intellect. Only those great tzaddikim, the Alter Rebbe is saying, whose service of Hashem transcends even the transcendental love and awe experienced through the mind, as it is in Bria, they become stationed. They operate, they function within the world of Atzilus, because that is the nature of the world of Atzilus, that it transcends every level of understanding and knowledge. What indeed, if so, does constitute their divine service? Their service is rather on the level of an actual Merkava, an actual chariot of the Blessed Ein Sof, v'libotelelav b'mitzias, nullifying their very existence before Him. Ulihikal el ba'ede yizbarach, heim v'chal asher lehem, and incorporating themselves and all that they possess within His light. Ayidei kiyuma teira v'hamitzvahs. Through the observance of teira and the mitzvahs. Al derech sha'amru. Similar to what our sages have said, ha'avos heinein ha'merkava, the avos, the patriarchs, they constituted the divine chariot. V'hainu l'fisha kol yemeyem ha'isazos avedasam, for this was their level of service throughout their entire lives. This is the Jew of Atzilus. His divine service is not a service that experiences a profound love and awe coming from awareness and meditation. No. This is the Merkava personality who nullifies his very existence before Hashem and melts away and incorporates him and everything he has within Hashem's all-pervading energy through Torah and Mitzvahs. They know that the real way to achieve this is Torah and Mitzvahs, and they observe Torah and Mitzvahs in this fashion, with this awareness, with this intention. And the example for this is what the Medrash says, brought many times in Tanya before, chapter 18, 23, 34. The Avos were the Merkava. Why do we talk about the Avos? There are other souls. Because this reflects their entire life. This was always their Avodah. They were a total Merkava, a chariot, an instrument, a conduit for divinity, without any identity distinct, any sense of identity distinct of Hashem's energy. But the Alter Rebbe concludes here, Achmi sheshedish nishmasi, katin meyachal Avodah tamazu. But he whose soul's root is of too limited a capacity for this perfect service on the level of a chariot, which means to be constantly nullified before and absolutely absorbed in Hashem's energy. He doesn't have the capacity, the ability, the courage, the power to operate on that level. He attains this state only intermittently, and only at unique times, an ace rotzin, at times when there is a divine favor and high, times of divine favor and high, which means there's a special a godly revelation or benevolence, flow of benevolence. Ukamai, for example, betfilas shmoyne esrei shehi batzilus, such as during the shmoyne esrei prayer, which according to the Kabbalah is the level of atzilus. That is what shmoyne esrei is. Ubefrat b'shtachavoyus shabbat. Especially when bowing down in the four designated places in Shmoyne Esrei. For every such act of bowing represents the consciousness, the level of Atzilus. As is written in Pri Eitz Chaim, authored by Reb Chaim Vital, transcribing the teachings of the Arizal. In the section dealing with the welcoming of the Shabbos, in the portal Shara Shabbos Perikei, he discusses this. Kihi inyin bitul ba'ei. For this, Shmoyne Esrei and the bowing down during Shmoyne Esrei embodies the idea of self-nullification in Hashem's light. Liyos chashiv kamei kelo mamish, to be accounted as absolutely naught in His presence. That's why Shmoyne Esrei is described as Atzilus, because that is the level of Shmoyne Esrei. The total self-nullification where your whole identity is suspended to melt away and become absolutely naught in His presence. So such a type of soul who doesn't operate on this level constantly, only at unique times, let's say during Shmoyne Esrei, not bad, right? Nonetheless, Agdal Terebe, as I gamkin ikik vius neshmasi ubeilam habriya. Then the principal abode of his soul is still in the world of Bria. Because here we're dealing with a soul who is essentially associated to the world of Bria, although at unique times he may attain the level of Atzilus. But nonetheless, the primary station of this soul after his lifetime will be in the world of Bria. Rak leprakim be'eis ratzoin, Talanish Mase La Tzilus Bebchinis Mayin Nukvin Kiyadua Liyoidei Chein Chachman Estar. Only occasionally, at a special time of divine favor, will his soul rise to Atzilus in the process known as feminine waters. which means as a result of a certain arousal from below, as known to the masters, to those aware and knowledgeable in the concealed wisdom in Kabbalah. Yes, he's saying that the whole Shemoneh Esrei is an atzilus, particularly in Shemoneh Esrei itself. The places where we bow are uniquely connected to atzilus. Yes. You want to know how is it possible to be totally bitteldik and yet a separate identity? So you want to know if the souls in the world of Bria are totally enveloped by love and awe towards Hashem, as he described it before, total aven, you're on the deepest level. Nonetheless, we say they retain their identity. How does that work exactly? Good question. And what is the nature of Atzilus? What happens in Atzilus? Do they cease to love? Do they cease to be? What does it mean? This is a heavy piece. Let's discuss this for a few moments. One of the fundamental teachings of Kabbalah, everybody knows, is that our corporal world has four idealistic counterparts. The first place in which the concept of four worlds is mentioned is in the Kabbalistic literature. The first time it's mentioned is in a very early Kabbalistic text known as Masichta Atzilus. Its author is unknown. Some attribute it to a man named Rabbi Yaakov Nazir. In Masichta Atzilus, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayah Mem Gimel, which we just said last Shabbos at the conclusion of the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos. Kol hanikra b'shmi v'lichvoidi barasiv yitzartiv afasisiv. All that is called by my name for my glory, I have created it, I have formed it, and I have made it. On a literal level, the prophet is referring to the time of redemption, telling us that all of the Jewish people will be redeemed. All those people that are called by my name and for my glory have I created it, formed it, and made it. But in Kabbalah, beginning with Masichta Atzilus, he says as follows, and I quote, Melamed Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Arba Olamos. This teaches us that Hashem created four worlds. Atzila V'Sham Kvoidei. Atzilus, where His glory abides. V'Lichvoidei. Barasiv Olam Habriya Sham Neshamos HaTzadikim V'Sham Kisei HaKavod. The verse continues, for my glory have I created it. That refers to the second world where the souls of the tzaddikim and the throne of glory resides. Then he says, Yitzartiv, I have formed it. That's Olam HaYitzira, Shom Eser Kitos Malachov Umetatrin Melech Aleya. There the 10 groups of his angels abide and the Malach Metatrin reigns over them. And finally, Afasisiv, and I have made it, refers to Olam HaAsiya. This theme became one of the most fundamental doctrines in the whole Kabbalah, mentioned many, many times in the Zohar, authored by Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his students. And all of the books of Kabbalah, you could say, Amaleim b'davar zar, filled with this concept of the four worlds. As he did to all the other concepts of Kabbalah that we revealed to his till his day, the Ramak, Reb Moshe Kardaviro, who lived in Sfas, in the 16th century, dedicated in his monumental Kabbalistic work, Pardes Rimonim, a whole portal Shaar Tezayin, entitled Shaar Atzilus Bri Yitzira Asiya, in which he compiled all the material connected to these four worlds, explaining the essence, the function, and the purpose of these worlds. As in all other themes of the Ramak's Kabbalah, the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, who was initially a student of the Ramak, but then developed his own path in Kabbalah, developed this theme at length in his Kabbalistic works, primarily in his Eitz Chaim and Shaar Mem Zayin and Shaar Nun, which are Shaar Seder Abiyah. Abiyah is the acronym for Atzilus Bri Yitzira Asiya, and Shaar Kitzur Abiyah. The Pardes there in Shaar Tezayin writes that the highest world is the world of Atzilus. The etymology of the world of Atzilus, he says, is the word Eitzel, Eitzel HaMizbeach, near the Mizbeach, Inyan Kurva, closeness. Ani Nimtza Etzlecha, Eitzel, I am nearby, I'm close to you. V'hakavana lahayres al reiv adikus hasharashim b'sibasam, indicating the close relationship, the intimate relationship that the roots of the world of Atzilus enjoy with their source. He explains that this is also connected to the pasuk in Parshas Baalayischa. We'll soon read Va'atzalti min haruach, when Hashem tells Moshe to gather the 70 elders to help him in leading the Jewish nation. Hashem says, Va'atzalti min haruach asher alecha v'samti aleihem, I will cause some of the spirit that you possess to emanate, and I will grant it to them. That's why a lot of people translate Atzilus as the world of emanation. I will cause part of the spirit on you to emanate, and I will grant it to them. Rashi says there that it's like Moshe was like when you light one flame from another flame. The first flame doesn't lack anything. And the Pardes explains that since the elders were adukim boy, were so connected to Moshe, like the Eir HaLevana with the Nitzot HaShemesh, Ad Shakail Echad, as much as the light of the moon is connected with the spark of the sun that it is actually projecting and emanating, therefore it's called V'Hatzalti, because there's a total closeness. So we can really translate the world of Atzilus as the world of intimacy. Next, the Pardes says, is the world of Bria, coming from the terminology used in Parashas Korach, in Bria Yivra Hashem. Moshe says, if Hashem will create something new. Here the Pardes says, we have a world that assumes a distinct identity. It's not intimately connected with its emanator, it assumes a distinct identity. And therefore, he says, what happens is, it becomes more concrete, more coarse, which means further from its source. And that's why it becomes more concrete and more coarse. To quote his words, HaKavana bay havias hadavar bahavia niglus yoisim in Atzilus. Here the reality is more revealed, more concrete, more materialized than in the world of Atzilus. Yitzira is connected to the pasuk. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adam in Parshas Bereishis, he says, Hashem formed man dust from the earth. Here, it becomes even more thick, even more coarse, even more crass, less sublime, and the reason is because it's less intimate. It's even more remote, and it assumes a more distinct identity, even than in Bria. So it's not just created, it's formed. We don't only have a created being, we have a being that has been formed, developed, assuming more properties and more qualities because of its remoteness. And then he says, "An asiyah hudaver yaisir mizgalim in agimul hakaidmim." The term asiyah means it becomes even more crass, more coarse, more materialized, more concrete, because it assumed even more of a distinct identity. It wasn't only formed, it was made. It was constructed. The infrastructure of all of these worlds are the 10 spheres, the 10 divine traits, the 10 divine emanations. They're the infrastructure of all these worlds. in Chassidus, particularly in Chabad Chassidus. This theme is developed in great length from a psychological and personal point of view, explaining the four worlds in our personal lives and in our daily life. And in this light, we have to come to understand what Alter Rebbe says here in Tanya. Now, we certainly won't exhaust the issue today, but I just want to conclude with one more idea. To understand this, we have to focus. The Alter Rebbe says, "K'may b'tfilas shmoyne esra shehi ba'atzilas ki hi inyin bitl ba'odiyas baruch liyas chashav kamei kalay mamash." Shmoyne esra is atzilas. It embodies the self-nullification experience in Hashem's light to be accounted as absolutely naught before Him. What does this mean? Everybody knows, everybody is well familiar with the ladder, the famous ladder. Yaakov Avinu's ladder. The Kotzker Rebbe once said, there's nothing as crooked as a straight ladder and nothing more straight than a crooked ladder. He continued that there's nothing as black as a white lie and nothing more complete than a broken heart. But this crooked ladder being straight, I believe, was not just an anecdotal preface to the conclusion of his comment, but rather it constitutes an idea in and of itself. In Yaakov's dream during his night rests in the mountain of Moriah en route to Mesopotamia to his uncle Lavan at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov envisions the Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Reshe Magia HaShamayima V'hine malachei elokim olim v'yodim bo v'hine Hashem nitzav alav. A ladder standing on the ground, its top reaching up towards heaven, Hashem's angels ascending and descending upon it, and behold, Hashem is standing over him. Another, it says in Medrash, in Yalkut Ruveni on the Pasuk, and other Svarim, that the ladder in Yaakov's dream consisted of four steps. The Shalah, who was one of the greatest mystics and sages, in his Shnei Luches Abris, he lived in the 16th century, the Shalah on this Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze writes that all of the commentators agreed upon the fact that this ladder reflects the three worlds, because in Jewish philosophy, we generally talk about three worlds. This world, the corporal earthly world, that's Mutzav Arza, the ladder is standing on the earth. Then we talk about the world of the planets, the celestial beings, Magia HaShamayim, the ladder reaches heaven. Then we talk about the world of the angels, Malachei Elokim Olim V'Yodim Bo, the angels of Hashem ascending and descending upon it, and Hashem above them all, Hashem standing over Yaakov. In major works of Jewish philosophy, whether it's in the works of Reb Saadia Gaon, or the Rambam, or Rabbi Yosef Alboy, or the Ralbag, and so on and so forth, the Arbarbanel, the classical Jewish philosophers, the Ramah, discuss these three worlds. Olam HaShafel, the lowly world, Olam HaGalgalim, the world of the planets, and Olam HaMalachim, the world of the angels. But the Shalah says, Aval b'fiyah mekobalim, but according to the Kabbalists, the four rungs in the ladder represent the four worlds in the Kabbalah. So the Shalah says, the ladder set earthward, reaching heavenward, represents the ascent to the world of action. Angels of Hashem descending and ascending upon it symbolize the worlds of formation and creation, descending and ascending. And Hashem standing over him is describing the fourth and highest world, the world of Atzilus, the world of intimacy. The Megala Amukis, Rav Nosson Shapiro, from Krakow. He passed away in 1640. He writes a very interesting idea. He says, Moshe ascended to heaven three times. Each time he ascended on another step of the ladder, of Yaakov's ladder. In Parshas V'Eschanan, Moshe begs Hashem, Ebro na ve'era. Let me pass the Jordan and see the land. Ebra is the same letters like Arba. Moshe was begging to ascend on the fourth step. Because he ascended till then the first three times. Shavuos, after Shavuos, the first 40 days, the second 40 days, the third 40 days. Moshe wanted Ebra another fourth step. The Zohar on the Pasuk and in other places says, Sulam Dotzloisa. What is the ladder? The ladder represents the experience of davening, of prayer. Zagda Arizal, the great Mekubal, whom I mentioned, who lived in the 16th century, in his opening chapters of the portal of prayer, Shaar HaTfilin Pri Etz Chaim, that the halachic divisions of the morning prayers into four sections correspond to an ascending progression through the four worlds, beginning with action, culminating with intimacy. So the four steps in the Sulam, which according to the Shalah correspond to the four worlds. Is totally in sync with this idea of the Arizal, that there are four sections in davening corresponding to the four worlds. The Arizal, as usual, captivates our imagination even more by sharing with us that the four preliminary activities required to do before the morning prayers. A, cleansing your inner system, Yifne Nekavav. Cleansing your inner system. B, donning one's talus. C, donning one's tefillin shel yad, tefillin on the arm. And D, donning, putting on tefillin shel rosh, tefillin on the head. They serve as the four physical instruments through which man ascends through the external chambers of these four worlds. Cleansing the inner system is the world of action. Tzitz is the world of Yitzira, Talis, Tfilim Shalyad, Bri, and Tfilim Shalash Hatzilis. That's why there's an argument if you make a brach on Tfilim Shalash or not, Al Mitzvah's Tfilim. Do you have to make a blessing and draw down energy into the world of Hatzilis? And most of the Kabbalists, as well as the Sfardim, don't make a brach on Shalash. It's exempt with the brach al Aniach on Shalyad, on the Tfilim of the arm. Following these four preliminary activities comes the davening itself. The four steps of davening. Davening is a ladder. Davening is basically climbing a ladder where you're ascending through the internal chambers of these four worlds. In the beginning of davening, from the beginning of davening, from Moidani till Baruch Sha'amar, the Jew climbs the first step of the spiritual ladder, cultivating the microcosmic universe of action within his or her psyche. The second section of the liturgy known as Psukei Dezimra, from Baruch Sha'amar till Baruch Hu, the Jew ascends the second rung on the ladder, encountering the microcosmic world of formation. Following Yishtabach, when he enters into the blessings preceding Shema, as well as the Shema itself, he entered into the universe of creation, and finally, during the silent Shemina Esra, he comes to discover cosmic intimacy. The world of Atzilus. After Shemina Esra, you have to climb down. You have to make your way down the mountain. So the first thing is Tachnun and Afilas Apayim, where we fall on our faces. We're going down. Ashrei Yobalitzion, you make the journey from Atzilus to Bria. Tefillah LeDavid and the Song of the Day to the world of Yitzira. Kaveh and Enkel Akenu, the world of Asiya. In Aleinu, we attempt to integrate the worlds, and now you're ready to come back. So first you go up, you recreate yourself, you refashion everything in the world of Atzilus, and now you go back, a new person. In the Hasidic literature, particularly in Chabad, as I mentioned, this is all developed in a very personal way, explaining it as a psychological process connected to every person's individual, intimate, emotional, and spiritual life. And the first place that it's explained, although very briefly and admittedly in a very cryptic way, is in Tanya in these chapters. But although written very briefly, we remain indebted to the Alter Rebbe himself and to all the leaders of the Chabad dynasty that succeeded him, who developed this theme very, very elaboratively and lucidly in their books, discourses, and letters and talks throughout the generations of the six leaders of Chabad following the Alter Rebbe. In fact, the most famous Chabad song and most powerful Chabad melody is known as the Alter Rebbe's Nigun, the Alter Rebbe's melody, consisting of four stanzas. It's sung at very unique moments, when a chassan, when the groom goes to veil his bride, and when the groom and bride come out to the chuppah canopy. And it's sung at other auspicious times during the year. But these four stanzas in his melody correspond to the four worlds and to the four levels of consciousness operating within these four worlds. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, in the Fabring in Yutes Kislev, 1902, Tofer Samach Gimel explained, actually, in middle of singing, while he was singing the melody, he explained the connection of each stanza to its corresponding world. And the Rebbe Rashab said then that in this melody, the Alter Rebbe imbued and projected his perspective in Chassidus and guided us and instructed us and gave us the path to serve Hashem according to the Shita of Chabad Chassidus. This is the body of the four worlds. The soul of the four worlds will leave for next class, discussing a little bit of what all of this means in our personal lives. And then we can come to understand what the Alter Rebbe is telling us here in this chapter. Let me just finish with a little vart. The holy student of the Baal Shem Tov, the Tildus Yaakov Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Pulna, authored one of whose work on Chassidus was, I believe, the first published volume on Chassidus, Tildus Yaakov Yosef, close to two decades before the Tanya was published. He once asked a question, interpreting the words we say every Shabbos during davening, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelke ki eved neman karasaloi, Klil tif eres b'roshe nasatale ba'amde lefanech al har Sinai. The crown of harmony you placed on his head when he stood before you on Mount Sinai. So Rabbi Yaakov Yosef asked the question, why is it that when the king removes his crown from his head, where does he place it? Where does the king place the crown that he removes from his head? He places it on a nail hanging on the wall. He says, wouldn't it be more appropriate that such a prestigious, powerful object as the king's crown he would place on the head of one of his ministers? Not on a simple hook, on a nail, an inanimate nail hanging on the wall. So what's the answer? He never saw a king. He never read a story about a king who took off his crown and placed it on the head of one of the ministers. A minister constitutes a much more suitable vessel, recipient, to carry the king's crown while he's not wearing it. A nail on the wall. What's the answer? That's precisely the answer. Because a minister is so much more sophisticated and developed, if the royal crown was to be placed on his head, can there's a chane bin ayreden that he's the king? He might start thinking that he himself is the king. He might start taking himself very seriously in this process. He might start viewing himself as essentially connected to the crown. He won't give it up so fast. But a nail never thinks that he's the king. You could hold the crown, you could put the crown there on the nail for years and decades and centuries. Never will it cross the consciousness of a nail that it's the king, because it has no consciousness. So when Hashem was looking for a receptacle for his crown, he chose Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes there are certain ministers who reach that level where, as ministers, they're like nails. And then the king puts this crown on them. So we say in davening, Klil Tiferes B'Roshay Nasatalei B'Amdilafanach Al Har Sinai. The crown of truth, of his own truth, Hashem placed on Moshe Rabbeinu's head. And that depicts the essence of a neshama d'atzilus. So this nail, due to its nothingness, liyos kamei kelei chashiv mamish, ultimately gets to wear Hashem's crown. And it's connected to Ba'amdei lefanech al Har Sinai, when he was standing before you on Har Sinai. Because everybody knows, the Medrash says in Parshas Vayetze, that Sinai has the same numerical value as what? As Sulam, as the ladder. 130. Kuf Lamed, Sinai and Sulam. Samach Lamed Mem, right? Samach is 60, Mem is 40, and Lamed is 30, 130. Zagde Medrash, that the experience of Yaakov's ladder, according to one of the interpretations, actually refers to the experience at Sinai. As the Medrash puts it, Mount Sinai was based on earth, but on the day of Shavuos, its top had become enveloped by a heavenly flame. V'ha'har b'yir b'esh ad lev ha'shamayim. So it's Sulam Mutzav Arts of Eresh Magi ha'shamayim. Sulam is Sinai, which is established on earth, but enveloped by a heavenly flame. The angels ascending and descending the ladder represent Moshe and Aaron. V'al Moshe Amar Alei. Moshe went up, ascended the mountain, and descended the mountain. And Hashem stood on top of the ladder, Vihine Hashem Nitzav Olav, just as he stood on top of Har Sinai, on top of the mountain Sinai, to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, as we say in Parashas Yisrael, just as Vihine Hashem Nitzav Olav. So the ultimate of Ba'amdei Lefanech al Har Sinai achieved the Klil Tiferes B'Reish Nasatalai, the very crown of the king that's revealed in the world of Atzilus. As we shall discuss this more elaboratively, God willing, in the next class. Have a wonderful week. Afreilich and Shavuos, Kabbalah Satayra B'Simcha B'Pnimius. An interesting question. It's explained in Chassidus actually that there's four parts of Torah. You're asking where are the four worlds in the Torah? There are four parts of Torah connected to these four worlds: Kabbalah, Atzilus, intimacy, Gemara, Bria, Mishnah, Yitzira, and Chumash, Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah, Asiyah. This the Alter Rebbe will indeed discuss in chapter 40. And we'll deal with it then. You want to know if, when we say Kabbalah is in Atzilus, if it includes Chassidus. Generally speaking, one may say that the esoteric teachings of Torah include Kabbalah and Chassidus, and they belong in the world of Atzilus. However, on a deeper level,
it is explained in various places that there is the fifth level, known as Yechida, the quintessence, transcending even Atzilus, and that is indeed connected to Chassidus. That's what Chassidus embodies. That's the energy of Mashiach. In fact, there's something interesting. You asked before, we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu ascending to Atzilus, Keser, Klil Tiferes Bereish Nosat Lebam Delefanach Al Harsinai. In fact, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a soul of Atzilus and operated in the world of Atzilus. So you asked, how does that coincide with the Megala? Someone asked, how does that coincide with the Megala Amukais, who says, Ebrana, Moshe beseeched Hashem to enter into the level of Eretz Yisrael. Ebrana, he wanted Arba, but he never made it to the first step. He went up to step one, he went up to step two, he went up to step three, and he wanted to go on to step four, he never made it. So the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, in Eir HaTorah, Parshas Vayetze, writes that there are two ways in which we can understand the four steps on the ladder. One way is that the first step is from earth into the world of Asiya. Then from Asiya into Yetzirah, from Yetzirah into Bria, and from Bria into Atzilus. Another method and way to interpret the meaning behind these four spiritual steps is the first step is from Asiya into Yetzirah. According to the first interpretation, the first step in your climb, the first element of progress is entering into the world of Asiya, entering into the world of action, dealing with action. The second step is going to the world of formation. According to a deeper interpretation, you're in Asiya and you're climbing to Yetzirah. So the first step is the ascent from Asiya to Yetzirah. The second step is the ascent from Yetzirah to Bria. The third step is the ascent from Bria to Atzilus. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was beseeching Hashem was to allow him to ascend from Atzilus into the realm of pure infinity. In Atzilus, the Alter Rebbe said, there's somewhat of a tzimtzum. There are spheroids. The spheroids are united with him totally. Are united with Ein Sof totally. In Bria, they're not united with him totally. He wanted to transcend even Atzilus. He wanted to go into the Ein Sof, to the pure infinity that transcends even the world of Atzilus. That's why he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's what it meant. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael.
And if that would have been the case, if he would have been going into Eretz Yisrael,
there wouldn't have been a destruction.
And that would have been the Zman of Mashiach.
Right.
So whatever the Neshama has done, if it wants to get fixed, it's a Asiya part, learn that Chelek at first. Once it gets the Yetzirah fixed, learn that Chelek at first.
If you want to get your Asiya fixed, you learn Chumash, your Yetzirah fixed, Mishnah, your Gebriya fixed, Gemara, and your Atzilus fixed, whatever, fixed, discovered, is Kabbalah, and Chassidus allows you to tune into all of them. Which means Chassidus allows you to use all of them as instruments to fix your soul, which is the fifth level that pervades all of them. But we're not getting now into those details. I just mentioned this in connection with what you asked about the fifth level, so I'm mentioning also what the Tzemach Tzedek says. But on the literal interpretation is the four steps is from earth into Atzilus, Asiya to Yetzirah. I'm sorry, from earth
into Asiya,
cultivating the world of Asiya. Then there's cultivating the world of Yetzirah. There's encountering the world of Bria, and then there's discovering the world of Atzilus. And those are the four steps in Davening. Yeah. From Maida Anitul Baruch Shamar is the first step in the ladder. It's a heavy climb.
Now it is a heavy climb, but he should be what he was beginning of davening and totally got a different person.
Totally. You can't recognize him. A real Yid, before davening and after davening, you can't recognize. He climbs the ladder of his inner psyche, of his inner soul. You can't recognize him. He reclaims the Atzilus within him during Shemini Esrei. First he reclaims Asiya, then he reclaims Yetzirah, then he reclaims Bria, then he reclaims Atzilus. And then his identity is totally remolded with the depth and the essence of all reality. But you can't stay up there on the ladder, because we operate in the world of Asiya. So after Shemini Esrei, you have to make a slow descent. But now, but when you come back, you're different. Yes.
But theoretically, the more someone be able to stay in the Olam of Tefillah, be able to be constantly hooked up with this koyach of chiddush.
Total chiddush. So that's where you start coming down. So the nefilas apayim is a big fall. It says in chiddush, based on Arizal, the reason we fall on our faces. The literal reason, the Kabbalistic reason, is you're going down to the sparks. You're going down to elevate the sparks. Elecha Hashem Nafshi Yesa. That's how we begin. L'David Elecha Hashem Nafshi Yesa. I want to raise my soul. So Azag Dal Tereb in the end of Perik Lamed Aleph, I want to raise my animal soul. Elecha Hashem Nafshi Yesa. Why not my divine soul? My animal soul. Now you're going back down. You want to raise my animal soul. Also, there's a deeper interpretation about Nefilas Apayim, and Tzemach Tzedek writes that Nefilas Apayim, in a way, is even a deeper level of self-nullification than Shemini Esrei. You know, we bow down during Shemini Esrei, that's Atzilus, and Nefilas Apayim, you totally fall on your face. Tzemach Tzedek says you turn into a Nikuda Chada, to a subatomic particle that occupies no space. To a point that has no space, no properties, no breadth, no width, no dimensions. Nekuda chada, dot, a theoretical dot that occupies no space. Psychologically. And now you can begin your journey down into the world of Asiya. And then Yashri of Olitziya in his Bria. And then Tefillah LeDavid and Shir Shel Yom. I mentioned this Yetzirah. The melody of the day is very much connected to Yetzirah. The Malachim are always singing melodies. You know that? Malachim are always singing melodies. Then you have Kaveh. Kaveh and Enkel Akeinu Zasiyah. Then you have Aleinu. Aleinu is a very heavy Tefillah. Of course, the four sections of davening are all about, are very much connected to his bainanus and his baididus, to deep meditation, and so forth. It's very productive, there's no question. That's a good shaila. That's a good question. He's saying dafka in the midst of Shemini Esrei, when you reach Tatsilas, what are you talking about? You're talking about your own needs. A whole davening, you're talking about God. What do we talk during? What do we discuss? You see, in dafka Shemini Esrei, when you reach Tatsilas, where kula kamei kaleichash, where you become naught, a merkava, suddenly you start asking for livelihood and for health and for wisdom. And for a good fortune, and for liberation. He's saying it's paradoxical. Dafka during Shemini
Esrei.
No. Yeah. You're saying Mela after Davin, after Shemini Esrei, you retreat, then you go back to earth. But mamash in the middle, when you're bowing down, or right after you're bowing down, or in between bowing down, you're discussing your personal needs. Yeah. Right. It's a very good shiloh. You're saying if your Natsilas do these things matter that you should even care to ask for them? They don't even matter. You're totally on another plane. That's the question. So we have to explain, which is based on what's discussed in various places, that even a Merkava, like the Avos, which is the soul of Atzilus, a soul who operates in the consciousness of Atzilus, if you could define it as consciousness, during Shmina Esa would pray for these needs. Perhaps on the most basic level, one can explain, and I believe this is written, that the Merkava yearns for the physical needs described so vividly in Shmina Esra, knowing that the ultimate purpose and objective of all of creation, including Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and so forth, was that Hashem desired to have an abode in the physical world, and thus man has to live and operate within the physical body, and thus have certain needs, including livelihood, plenty, food, drinks, health, life, and so on and so forth. So instead of it being a self-centered, an exercise in self-centeredness, even healthy self-centeredness, like taking care of yourself, it becomes really an exercise and a product of you being a Merkava. So the Kula Kamekalei Chashev awareness of Shmeina Esra does not exclude the Jew of Atzilus saying, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafe, please heal us even from our physical ailments. I kula kamekalei chashiv, and your body as well. It's really kula kamekalei chashiv. It's playing games here. But this is where Torah mitzvahs come into the picture. Torah mitzvahs, which really embody the perspective of kula kamekalei chashiv, because Torah mitzvahs is Hashem's intimate self. Torah mitzvah is kameh, that there his presence is totally revealed without any veils. Torah mitzvahs require a physical world and physical objects and a physical body and so forth. They don't view, from the perspective of Torah mitzvahs, they don't have a distinct identity or a value to their identity outside of it being implement, of it being an implementator, of it being the instrument through which Hashem's will is being implemented, but nonetheless, it has value in terms of Hashem's will and so forth. That's maybe you can explain it. Yeah. No. Til Pesukah de Zimris Hasiya, from Maida Ani till Baruch Shamar. We'll discuss it next week. It's connected to Maida, Hida, submission. There's no process of passion or emotion. It's behavior, submission, surrender. Pesukah de Zimris, you try to tune into your natural spirituality. Try to cultivate your natural emotions of love and awe. And the content is designated to elicit that. Brichas Krishma and Krishma's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, a meditation that produces Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Bria. You're not tuning into your natural. The canon of Psukah de Zimri relates to that by it discussing at length Hashem being the essence, the life force of existence, of our soul, of our psyche, of existence, and so forth. In other words, spirituality being the basic stuff of who you are. In Krishna, the content is expressing Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, transcending your identity, trying to introduce an awareness that transcends you, and that producing a love. You want to hear? What do you say by Shemana Asana? How do you begin? Adna Svasai Tiftachu Fiya Gatil Asacha. God, you do the talking now. You do the talking. Adna Svasai Tiftach. Hashem, you open my lips. Ufiya Gatil Asacha. You open my lips. Let me just be a conduit. So the Bakasha Strachov is a total product of you being a Merkava. And it's precisely because it's Atzilus, it recognizes the validity and the value of the physical world where Hashem desired to have an abode. No. You can't call it Nivrayim, that's the whole point. To allow for Nivrayim to emerge, Atzilus must constrict it to its energy. That's what the Paradis says, it's Eitzel, it's not a Nivra. Bria becomes distinct, it's created. Yitzira is more distinct and therefore it's formed, it's developed. And Asiya is actually made, it's finalized, it's a product for sale. Bria, Yitzira is not a product for sale yet, it's not concretized. Shamas. Why do you say Neshamas Datsalus? He also says Sviras Datsalus. He says it's Miyuchaditai, it's one with him. Then he says that in Atzilus there's no symptom called kach. It means that in Atzilus you're saying there's still a symptom. There's no symptom called kach. So apparently he's contradicting himself. So we have to assume that the symptom that exists in Atzilus is totally of a different nature than the symptom exists in Bria, and it therefore justifies to say that in Atzilus it's all one with him and it's bottled with Metzius Mamash. Either is a symptom. Type of tzimtzum. Okay, we'll deal with it next week at length. The puzzle fits. Yeah. You want to know examples for souls of Atzilus? Yeah. The Aves Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, souls of Atzilus. Moshe Rabbeinu, soul of Atzilus. Yes. It says in Kabbalah that Reb Shimon ben Yechaya was a soul of Atzilus. That Rizal was a soul of the Atzilus. The Alter Rebbe said that the Baal Shem Tov was a soul of Atzilus. And the Rabbeim of Chabad said that the Alter Rebbe was a soul of Atzilus. In fact, not just the Rabbeim of Chabad. It's still a precious commodity. When the Alter Rebbe was in Mizrich once, Reb Zusha of Anapoli, the Rebbe Reb Zusha, was in Beis Medrash in the study hall. He was sitting. Once the Alter Rebbe came walking into the Beis Medrash in the middle of the night, Reb Zusha was learning. He stood up and he went and he hid behind the oven. So they asked Reb Zusha, "Why are you running?" He says, "Was haste? Anashama da Atzilus come to me jetzt. Anashama of Atzilus is entering the chamber, approaching me." Reb Zusha was a very, very sensitive soul. You know, Reb Zusha, in fact, was also very sensitive, particularly to the midah of yira, to the midah of awe. And the Maggid blessed him that he should have awe. And what started to happen was that he couldn't find himself. Wherever there was a crevice and a pit, he hid himself there from Hashem's presence. So he begged the Maggid to take it away from him, and he substituted with the midah of love. That's why Reb Zusha was such a lover of all Jews. But this is what Reb Zusha said. Now, Aneshama Datzilus is totally another type of soul. Aneshama of Yitzir is also totally another type of soul. Aneshama of Bri is Mamish, the deepest soul. But nonetheless, a soul of Atzilus, a soul molded in the reality of and perspective and perception of Atzilus, is totally another type of soul. We don't even begin to comprehend and perceive the nature of the soul because we always compare ourselves to these souls and so forth. I'll tell you, the collective soul of the generation, which means the Rebbe of the generation, yeah, is a soul of Atzilus. Because let's not forget, like you mentioned before, it says in Tanya chapter 2 that all souls come from Atzilus. Yeah, that's what Alter Rebbe started. All souls come from Chachmad Atzilus, the second chapter of Tanya. Banim Atam Hashem Alekechem, the Neshama is Chelik Alekami Ma'al Mamish, because it comes from Chachmad Atzilus and Huvach Chachmasa Yechad. But nonetheless, what does Alter Rebbe say? The soul evolves. It begins and originates in Atzilus, just like the child's identity originates in the soul and the psyche of the father. But then, the psyche is concretized into a procreative seed. And not only that, it doesn't remain a seed in the father's body. It's received, developed, nurtured, and fertilized in the womb of the mother. It develops into a fetus, and it emerges as a distinct identity. So true, every leg, every nuance, and every tissue, and every cell, and every component, and bone, and nerve, and so forth, its essence and its core on the deepest level is the essence of the psyche of the father. But it assumed new and distinct identities, and it emerged as a separate human being. Yeah? That's what Alter Rebbe said in chapter 2. The same is true exactly with souls. It originates in Chachma Natzilus, at the quintessence of the soul. You have Chachma Natzilus, but that very Chachma evolves and develops and assumes a distinct identity. So the soul, that tipa, that Chachma, the psyche of the father first develops into a tipa, procreative seed, which is already somewhat distinct. And then it's nurtured and developed and turns into a fetus. And you can't even recognize its original core and source, right? So it goes through Bria, it goes through Yetziria, it goes through Asiya, and the soul becomes a creature of Bria, Yetziria, and Asiya, and so forth. And that's why the Alter Rebbe says you need in every generation a tzaddik, a Rebbe, to connect it, to remind it who it really is, because the Rebbe never left Atzilus. But that's the concept. So these souls he's describing here in Periklamat Tes remain in Atzilus. So although they make the journey through the three worlds because they have to come into a body, but it's like they don't stop off on the way. they don't buy a house there. They got off the bus in Atzilus, and that's it. And the rest of Ishtarshalos, the rest of the world, they just pass through. It doesn't impact them. It doesn't mold them. It doesn't graft them. They don't assume the identities of those worlds. This is also Pshat. It says in Chassidus, every morning we say, the soul that you have placed into me is pure. Ata varasa, you created it. Ata yitzarta, you formed it. Ata nafachtabi, you blew it into me. Ata mashamra bekibe, and you guarded it within me. So Chassidus asks the question, apparently it's senseless. God, the soul that you granted, that you placed in me, the first thing you should say, you created it. What's the first thing that happens when you want to describe an object and all of its manifestations and developments and so on? The first thing, you create it. You bring it into being. We say no. The first thing we say, the soul that you placed in me is pure. You created it. So you can explain it. You can explain it poetically. The soul you placed within me is pure, and then we're saying you created it. But apparently that's the first stage. The soul you placed within me, you created. And then describe. It's pure, it's clean, it's holy, and so forth. So Chassidus says, no.
before the Ata Barasa do is Tahirihi. Ata Barasa is a subsequent phenomenon that follows Tahiri. The soul you placed within me is not created. You didn't create it. It's pure. It originates in Atzilus, which is not a created world. It's not a creation, the soul. It's part of the Creator, so to speak. It's rooted in the psyche of the Father. But then, that's not where it ends. Ata Barasa. It evolves into the world of Bria, and it changes its property, so to speak. If the godliness assumes the dimensions of a created reality, and therefore it possesses a consciousness like creatures of the world of Bria. And then furthermore, Ata Yitzarta, the properties of Yitzira. And then Ata Nefachtabi, the properties of the world of spiritual Asiya. And then finally it enters into the physical world, the physical Asiya. Because Asiya has two worlds as well, the physical and the spiritual. And here, Va'ata Meshamru B'Kirbi, here you simply have to guard it, you have to protect it, because there are very many forces that can destroy its dignity and rob it and strip it from its whole spirituality. So that's what happens here. So why do you say this every morning when you wake up? You have to remember, the first thing you wake up, you have to remember who you are. You have to remember who you are on your deepest level. Who you are, and then your whole day is different. Remember, the soul that you have, this very soul that exists within me, I have within me a consciousness that tahirihi. When you remember who you are, your behavior, your attitudes, your perspectives, your moods, your instincts, everything changes. But this is a very general statement. Now, davening, you have to start developing it. Developing it and internalizing it. So you can't start with tahiri. You start with Nefachta, and then you go up to Yitzart, and then to Varasa, and then to Tahiri, which is Shmina Esra. And now you got to go back. That's why the Baal Shem Tov said that it's a miracle that he stays alive after davening. It's a miracle that after davening he's still a living creature in the physical world. Baal Shem Tov said that. He said, it's a ness. As ich bleib leben nach in Davon. Why? You daven, you stay alive. We have a problem staying alive after davening.
Yeah. What does he mean? That the shovel just goes back up?
This was a question I always kind of was.
Yeah.
Weird with the Baal Shem, but you almost know it. That it never came down.
Uh-huh. I see. Come down. Right.
Right.
So what's the reason? Because in Atzilus you go back to Tahiri. You reclaim your deepest. Your soul goes back as it was prior to birth. As it was even prior to pregnancy. As it was even prior to conception. As it was part and parcel of the Father's intimate identity. In our case, chelik elikam imal mamash. And becomes very comfortable there, because that's where the soul is. To make the journey back is a powerful process. You know, the famous Hasidic master, Reb Uri of Strelitz, you know, they call him the Saraf. The Saraf of Strelitz. A Saraf means, loosely translated, a fireball. He was called a fireball. Why did he call him the fireball? Because each day during davening, he would go up in flames. He would burn himself up. Totally. He would totally burn himself up, to consume himself with a very powerful flame. This is the Sulam. You climb the ladder. That's why davening is such a powerful thing in Chassidus, in Yiddishkeit, in Chassidus. Because davening is really the opportunity to reclaim yourself, to go back to your identity. The ladder we're climbing is not just the ladder we're climbing in the general universe. As I mentioned, it's in the microcosm. It's in your own little universe, in your own miniature universe that reflects the universe. We have these four worlds within us, like everything has these four worlds, four dimensions of existence. And you're climbing that ladder, so you're really reclaiming your own source, your own identity. Without davening, you remain a wounded soul, a wounded soldier on a battlefield.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.